It just sounds good. I'm liking the beat. Tapping my foot. Like I know all the listeners are currently doing right now as well. Here every Saturday morning to take the weight of the world off your shoulders, to remove and melt away the anxiety you may have building up concerning anything about your home ownership. From the bottom of the foundation to the top of the rooftop, if you've got a project, anxiety, concern, or question, you need to know about Rosie on the house. .com. Heard from several realtors this week. They called in to let me know, Rosie, we don't close escrow and move a new company in where we don't hand them a Rosie on the House calendar as their number one most important tool about owning an Arizona home. For that, we are very appreciative. In that, they get to learn about our website, rosieonthehouse.com, where we have an article about the 10 problems we most often find in Arizona homes when we're doing a home inspection. And we've already addressed it once or twice in today's broadcast, and it's poorly performing air conditioners. And let me just cover that really quickly, and then we're going to go to our weekly to-do, where we're going to cover the topic of smart devices. 10 problems found during a home inspection. Number one, overloaded or double-tapped circuit breakers in the electric panel. Big no-no, big no-no. Poor or just water pressure in a home. Either not enough or too much, and how we address that. But the big thing is poorly performing air conditioners. And I'm going to tell y'all briefly why that is. All through the 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s, in the first 30, 40 years, we had air conditioning to put on a home. Generally speaking, we were oversizing the units, thinking the more, the better. And what we've learned in our building science approach of the last 20 to 30 years is that's not the case. You don't always want to take a fire hose to a campfire. And you don't want to generally oversize your air conditioning unit. As a matter of fact, you're better off slightly undersizing your air conditioning unit. Asking a smaller unit to run a little bit longer will create better indoor air quality. It will eliminate hot and cold spots in your house. It will cost less to buy the equipment, and it will cost less to run the equipment. So there's a lot of reasons air conditioning can be performing poorly in a home. But generally speaking, if your homes come from the era prior to 2000, it's too big equipment on poorly designed ductwork. And in any of those homes where you're contemplating getting new equipment, if the air conditioning contractor isn't considering downsizing your equipment and isn't seriously analyzing the integrity of your ductwork, they're not doing you, the Arizona homeowner, full justice. With that said, Miss Jennifer's worked hard all week working on smart devices. In particular,
well, Miss Susan put together an article about smart devices, and if you've had a chance to read the article, it's kind of fun. She talks about the differences in her own home between she and her husband and her mom, and just the different, you know, places people are at in their headspace as far as technology. And the thing I really like about the article is she gives four places that you can go and learn as a senior. They're kind of senior-friendly websites where you could learn how to navigate some of the things that have to do with the internet.
Now, what smart devices would you be considering?
Well, there's so many. There's so many. But I did want to say, you know, if you're an older person that's not familiar with technology, sometimes it's kind of fear that keeps you from doing it. And, bah humbug, I don't want to mess with that. But it really helps you to be more self-sufficient if you'll just do the basics yourself. And I have to give kudos to my mom. She texts, she emails, you know, she shops online. And it's not easy for her. And I often have to kind of help her or guide her. But she really gives it the college try, and I appreciate that. Because some of the things are getting to the point, if you don't do it yourself, somebody's going to have to do it for you. You know, on so many things. So, and it also keeps you connected to the different generations. So you have something in common with your children and your grandchildren. So think twice before you bah humbug the whole thing.
A great reason to move in with your grandchildren.
So they can help you. Come help grandma get on this thing. But I did want to highlight two devices today. And, you know, when we're younger and we talk about these, we're like, never, you know, just, but I never want to do that ever. I don't want to get to that point. But we're talking about things that help track you and keep track of you. So like in a medical level, like the Meta Alerts that you can buy and wear around your neck. You know, those are satellite and internet, or was it Wi-Fi based? That's always a little confusing to me how they all work. It's pretty cool technology. But, you know, the person wears it around their neck. I did talk to the people at Medic Alert this week. And, you know, it's kind of like wearing a mini cell phone around your neck. So if you fall, you actually have a two-way speaker communication. You can hit the button and say, I've fallen. You know, we all laugh at the commercial, help, I've fallen, I can't get up. But you actually have someone to talk to. So if you're by yourself, it allows you to be independent longer. And it's not very expensive. You buy the device. It's very small. You wear it around your neck. They have several different models, but this one is kind of the most popular. It's waterproof. It does have to be recharged about every 5 days, and it takes a couple hours.
And we, just in our family, we've had a couple instances in the last year where those played a pretty critical role in recovering someone who had fallen.
And who really, really, really did not want to wear it. And
that's right, in both cases.
And both times were very, very thankful they had it when they did. You only need it one time, but when you need it, you really need it. So those are affordable. You buy the device, they're like $100, and then you pay for the service every month. And then as I was researching that, it dawned on me, you know, Romy had met the guys at Affordable GPS and bought the tracking on the vehicles for our transit.
I love those.
And for an employer, you know, with a transit fleet, that's really nice to have. But you can also buy those on an individual level for your own cars. So let's say you have a teenager you want to keep track of, or you know, your elderly parent. We get these silver alerts, and you're like, how does that happen? How does somebody just drive out into nowhere and you can't find them? Well, these you put, it's a little unit you buy, and it goes underneath the steering wheel.
Steering column.
And underneath the column there.
It's not visible. It's not anything you can see.
And it tracks, it's satellite based also, and it tracks the direction, the speed, in the location within just a very small area. And then you can put little zones around it. So let's say, you know, your mom only goes out this far and it would be unusual for her to go that far. You can make a zone, and when she crosses that zone, there's an app on your phone that tells you, hey, that person's crossed the line. You know, so, you know, it doesn't, there are a few places anymore where that wouldn't work, but let's say that they drive out of an area that could be tracked like that. You can see the last place they were, the direction they were going, you know, and then you have these zones, so you find out before that gets too out of hand. Does that make sense?
Oh, it does. It does. It can also, I mean, if you've got a fleet of trucks, it can also alert the home base as to whether anyone's exceeding the speed limit.
That's right. And Victor had, Victor, owner of Affordable GPS, had some other applications, you know, like I said, teenagers, maybe. And they have, besides the ones that you drive, they also have the individual ones. So let's say you're going out of the country and you have little ones and you want to be able to sure you're keeping track of them. That's one thing you could use them for. If you have an autistic child who doesn't communicate well, and if they were away from the home, they couldn't tell anybody how to get them back home, those work for that as well. So there's different things you could use them for. But Victor is offering a deal to the Rosie on the House listeners. And the unit for the vehicle is generally $150. You can get them for $99. And then it's $24 a month, and the first month is free. You just have to tell Victor it's Rosie on the House sent you.
And how would they get a hold of Victor?
Can you look that up?
All right. Okay.
Rosie on the House. Romy, can you look that up for me real quick? Do you have it?
Okay.
Oh. Sorry, I should have had that. Should have had that open. I didn't.
No worries.
But that's Affordable GPS. That's actually up on Facebook. It's in your newsletter as well.
All right. Very good.
Romy, do you see it? Oh, okay.
He's digging it up. Okay. Can I go back to some of the 10 things we find in homes? I've been covering a couple of them every single week. Mm-hmm. One of the things we find that you need to be aware of, and before I go to the next thing, let me just tell people in general, with the heat of the real estate market right now, if you're in the buying mode, I'm going to give you the same advice I've been giving Arizona homeowners. for all 33 years that we've been on air. When you're looking to buy a home, and it's not a new home, you want to buy that home in as close to original condition as possible. If there's been modifications, you need to do the due diligence to go to the licensing department that has jurisdiction in that area and see a record of the building permits that have been pulled on that house to give you an idea of how many projects have been done according to code by regulation. Those permits will actually list who pulled the permit, so you'll even know whether or not it was a licensed contractor or not. Real estate agents, as the whole real estate industry 35 years ago, 30 years ago, started insisting on home inspections for their own protection. At first, the realtors fought that inspection because they thought it would kill a lot of deals. Well, then they learned, you know, this is a pretty good thing. Let's get the house analyzed before we close escrow so we can see if there's any obvious problems. This check for building permits on homes, if I were king for a day, I'd make this law. You must submit a review of the permits that have been pulled on this house as a part of your closing documents so you could see the true condition of that remodel, that addition, that patio slapped on mess on the back of the house, whether or not it was permitted or not. It ought to be, and I'm not big at making laws. I'm not a big fan of making laws that aren't needed, but that ought to be a part of the Arizona real estate law.
And if you're a Rosie on the House type homeowner, you have downloaded the app, rosieonthehouse.com/app, and you record all your projects with linked documents to all your projects with your permits, with receipts, with details, date on who the physical technicians and craftsmen were on site. So if there ever is a problem, you know exactly who to talk to. And you can transfer that when selling homes so the next homeowner coming behind you has a blueprint in depth detail about everything that's happened to this home, has a calendar of maintenance to help you keep up with it, and covers our weekly to-do every single week so the home is well maintained. It's really, I think, on a long enough time frame, maybe 20 years, maybe 30 years, not only is it going to change the home inspection industry, it's going to change the lending industry, and you're going to be able to get better financing on homes that have proven maintenance records.
And it's a digital diary of everything that's being done at your home, as well as a forecasting plan of what needs to be done.
Yeah, like,
and here, it's available at rosieonthehouse.com. And Romy, your idea of issuing Rosie on the House certified homes for sale is a jewel. It's an absolute jewel. It would set a new standard for the industry.
It's free application is home maintenance, so you can inventory. I'm sorry, is inventory control, so you can inventory all the artwork, furniture, and even appliances in your home. That's free. For $5 a month, it unlocks the maintenance, the projects, and the predictive financing. What Rosie was talking about is it's a learning system. So as let's use roofing as an example. We've got a lot of roofs being replaced right now from the rain. People are finding out, oh, it's leaking. So from this point to the end of the next 30 years of that roof's life, it will pay attention to other roofing projects that get updated in the area and help you project with inflation. All right, here's what you need to be ready to invest at 30 years when that roof is ready to be replaced, so you're not caught off guard and you've planned financially to be ready for that investment. And you multiply that with all the other things in your home, big ticket items, you can really control and be prepared for the big expense items of your home.
It really is. It can be a Rosie on the House digital diary, and it will become the new standard of buying homes. I was recently flattered from a realtor who called me and said, Rosie, we were helping someone buy a home, and someone from out of town, and the Midwest. And it was a home you had extensively remodeled about 10 years ago. And the homeowner went on and on and on and on and on about the fact this lady named Rosie remodeled our house. This lady, Rosie, remodeled our house. And I had to confirm to the out-of-town buyer, look, if this is a remodeled home by Rosie, it's done right. It's done Rosie right.